righteousness is a major theme in the Bible. And this word can be either taken with condemnation and, oh dear, I should do better, or with joy. And I just want to speak this morning on the righteousness of God. And I know if you've been a Christian for a long time, this word is as important for the mature as well as the newly saved. Because it speaks about God's standard of righteousness, God's righteousness. And biblically, you are either righteous or unrighteous, nothing in between. So there isn't any sort of middle ground with God. And just as we use certain measurements to bring rules or weights, or you want to measure something in your house, a plank or a shelf, a meter is a meter. It's not 98 centimeters. It's 100 centimeters. And when we talk about righteousness, the righteousness that God has, there is just one standard, and it's 100%. It's 100% righteous. There is no such thing as 98%. And I'm just going to, we're going to go through some scriptures this morning that I believe will do us all good. It's done me an awful lot of good to go through these scriptures. But God doesn't want to leave us feeling inferior and guilty and condemned when we hear this word. Not good enough. And this is why we need to walk through the scriptures a little bit this morning, so we arrive at a place where we're confident about God's righteousness. In Romans chapter 3, we're going to begin there with one verse, verse 20. This speaks about something about the works of the law, the deeds of the law. Now, just to back up a little bit, in the Old Testament, God gave his laws to the people of Israel. And if you think about Moses, the law came through Moses. And they were the Ten Commandments, but there was an awful lot more involved in doing the right thing, trying to do the right thing to reach God's standard, which is 100% righteousness. And it says, by the works of the law. So the Jewish people tried and failed every time to keep even the first commandment, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. If anybody has done that of themselves, please stand up. I should just sit down. So nobody was able to even fulfill the first commandment. And it says here that no flesh, no kind of ability of man will be justified. That's a legal term. Just as if I'd never sinned. Justified is right, righteous in God's eyes. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law shows us what's right, and that we are wrong without Jesus. So we get to know what is sin because we have God's law. The law is perfect, but it cannot save us. It just shows us that without a savior, we're all sinners. So no one is saved with the law or by the law of God. It proves we fall short. We can't save ourselves, and we need a savior. It's really important to know that you're never good enough without Jesus. It's really important. It's an important part of the gospel that no one is good enough of themselves. No do-gooder can do enough good to be good enough. And in verse 21, it goes on to say, we'll read three verses. But now the righteousness of God, the rightness of God that comes from God, so not human righteousness, self-righteousness, but the righteousness of God apart from the law. So the law reveals we can't save ourselves or be right. But Jesus came apart from the law, even though the law and the prophets spoke about the coming one that would save people from their sins. It's been witnessed by the law and prophets, but a righteousness of God is revealed. The right standard of God is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Even the righteousness of God, shall we say, through faith in Jesus Christ. To all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So in other words, we haven't reached God's standard. Verse 24, being justified freely. Hang on a minute, let's go back. This is the best news you're going to know about your salvation. Just as if you'd never sinned, freely, you didn't work for it. By his grace, grace is a word that speaks of God giving everything to someone who doesn't deserve it. Justified freely by his grace through the redemption, the purchase price that is in Christ Jesus. Wonderful. You see, if you fail in one thing, you fail in them all. And scripture is clear that without God and outside of God, no one is righteous. So none of us have any boasting about ourselves and how good we are. Because there's only one good, and that is God. There's only one right, and that is God. I tell you, when you really know this, it makes you so happy that you want to give your lives to serve the one who made this available freely to you. It actually has the opposite effect of living in kind of ungodly behavior. Being justified by faith is actually a message that changes us to live for God. Wonderful. Verse 25. Don't you love the scriptures? This is about Jesus now. God set forth as a propitiation. That means a sacrifice to pay a debt. He was the sacrifice that paid the debt for my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world. Scripture actually says God is not holding the world's sin against them. So God isn't pointing a finger at sinners. He's not holding sin against them because of Jesus. By his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier. There's two things there. It's who God is. He's just, and he's also the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. So this rules out all good works to be right with God. He is the just and the justifier of all who believe in Jesus. Jesus paid the price for sin on the cross. He took my sin, my guilt, my punishment when he died on the cross. The cross is God's solution to the sin problem. You see, God always loved us, but sin was always something he hated and was unacceptable to his righteousness. And to be just or right, God didn't compromise his standard of righteousness so that we could fit in on a lower level with God. Because God is just, and he has to judge sin. And the wages or the punishment of sin is death, separation eternally from God, and actually eternal damnation, hell. Jesus talked a lot about hell. But Jesus is the just one because he paid the punishment for my and our sin. Whatever sin has been committed or will ever be committed is paid for. Until Jesus returns, God already paid, past, present, and future, but he can't justify us by what we do, our performance, our doing all the right things, our earning righteousness, because nobody can earn righteousness. It always comes to us through faith in Jesus and his death and resurrection. See, some think this. In the Old Testament, God was really harsh. But in the New Testament, he's a big softy. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I prefer the New Testament God than the old one. That one I don't get. Well, the Old Testament reveals actually the righteousness of God and his judgment on sin. The New Testament reveals a God who stays righteous in Christ, who is righteous, but doesn't compromise his standard, but offers grace through the death of his son on the cross. You're getting this? So God is the same person in the Old Testament and in the New. Tell somebody next to you, I needed to hear that. God is holy. God is righteous 100%. He's always right. He's never wrong. What he says is always right. God's never wrong. He couldn't be wrong, otherwise he wouldn't be God. Yeah, great. So the cross is God's solution. He took my sin, my guilt, and shame. I can't try and do better to be righteous with God, to be right with God. I can't. And so the point of the cross that is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, the point of the cross is I could never be, but Jesus did it for me. I could never be right. Jesus did it for me. I don't know if you've ever tried to be a better person. Quit. Only he is the person who is right in your life. Christ alone. And by the way, he is love. As much as he is righteous, which is why he sent his son to die on the cross. He wanted you to have a relationship with him that couldn't happen without you being righteous. You can't just come as you are. You've got to come because of Jesus. It's not on our terms, but it's on his. It's not on the basis of who we are, but who he is that saves us. Oh, wonderful. This is so exciting for me. Right, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Jesus, God made him who knew no sin. Jesus was perfect, never sinned, flawless, perfect. When he became man, he lived as a man without sin. He made sin on the cross for us, took the debt, the punishment, the wrath of God on all unrighteousness came upon Christ. The punishment for all our sin. I will never be punished because Jesus took that punishment on himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Christ, in him, through faith, not works. Through just believing in Jesus as Savior and what he did on the cross. If it's self-righteousness, you don't receive God's righteousness. That was the problem with the Jews. They always tried to sort of say, look what I've done. I'm good enough because of what I do. But Jesus came to remove all confidence in self-righteousness so that our confidence would be based on Jesus alone for righteousness. When you receive Jesus, you got a true identity, a new identity. So when you get Jesus, you get your new identity. That's really important. And we have been made with the righteousness of God, righteous in God's sight. You will never be more righteous than you are now. Because you have Jesus, and he's 100% righteous. You were never righteous without him, but now you're right. You're 100% right. When God gives you his son, he gives you his righteousness. He doesn't give it in installments. He doesn't give you 50% righteous. And then if you do, this is how we work in the world. If you do good, I'll make it another 20, I'll add to your account. With Jesus comes 100% right with God. Now, Satan is an identity thief. He lies to us that you see you're not right because of what you do. And many Christians get condemned and inferior and feel like they're not good enough. Lose all confidence in their relationship with God because they base it on something bad they did. So Satan is called the accuser or the liar. And he tries to tell you that you aren't righteous because look at that. Jesus says you are made righteous because of Jesus. So when the devil brings condemnation to your door, let Jesus answer. Say, Jesus is my righteousness. I know what a lot of your heads are doing. You're going like, but what if I mess up? That's why the scripture makes provision in the cross, something Jesus has already done, that if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just, not because you've earned it or deserve it, but because of Jesus, to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, if I have a... Pastor Andrew's dog is famous. If I have a dog and he rolls in the mud, or even worse, you would say he's a dirty dog, right? He's really filthy. But all he needs is water to get clean again, because the dog himself isn't dirty. It's the dirt on the dog. And when we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we're cleansed back to righteousness, because that's what we already are. That's why confession of sin is positive, but don't always go back to it. Ask for the Spirit to help you to live a righteous life. But we can only live a righteous life because of who we are. We have been made right. Some people think, oh God, I can't wait to go to heaven. I'll be righteous when I get there. The basis of being right in heaven is only one person and his death, not when you die. Jesus, you're as righteous now as you will be in heaven. Okay, I need to preach to believers. You're as righteous now as you will be in heaven, not by acts, but by nature. When we go to heaven, the end of the struggle of temptation and sin will be over. Our flesh, we have now dominion over sin because we're righteous. In other words, we're supposed to rule over sin. We're not supposed to give in because of who we are. Because we're not under law, but under grace. It's a gift. But when we get to heaven, I won't be any more righteous than I am now in Christ. And I am in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Unrighteousness has passed away. Behold, all things have been made righteous in my spirit, in my heart. So when I go to heaven, I go solely on the basis of Jesus. That's why the Bible is so clear. He who has the Son, that's Jesus, has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. What alters an eternal destiny? Having Jesus. That's explosive. It's life-changing. You have eternal life if you have Jesus. You have a new identity if you have Jesus. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been, how many of you know that's past tense? Not will be. Very important, we read the Bible in the tenses that they're written. Therefore, having been, say, having been justified by faith. Past tense, I've already been because I have Jesus. Oh my goodness gracious me, Lord, you're so wonderful. Justified by faith, we have. Without being righteous, there is no peace. You can't be at peace with God without righteousness. You have to have Jesus who makes you righteous. And then scripture says those who believe and receive Jesus Christ are justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Just say it, just as if I'd never sinned. Say it three times, just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned by faith, not works. I know you know this, but you need to know it. Because if you go back to the works of the law, You lose the life of God. You lose the spirit, the power of God. If it starts to become something that you do and achieve, rather than the righteous shall live by his faith. We're righteous by faith, and we have to live by faith. All dependent on the one who lives in you. That's how you live. You live dependent on the. The Bible says whoever eats without faith is in sin, because whatever is not. So when we eat basic things of life, we do it in faith. How do we do that? Father, thank you. We acknowledge God as our provider. Thank you for this food. Thank you that you provide for us. Thank you. You bless it. The food is sanctified by the word and prayer. You even sleep in faith. I lie down and I sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. He gives his beloved sleep. I will wake sustained by the Lord. Sleep in faith. Some of you are not sleeping in faith. Whatever you do, do it in the righteous shall live by his that it might be all grace unearned. You are not under law, but under grace. The good news of God's grace that is in Christ Jesus. Justified by faith, we have peace with God only through one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, just in case you think this is a message that treats sin lightly. How could we ever treat sin lightly when we see God's punishment for sin on Jesus? It doesn't give license to live in an unrighteous, sinful way. But this message gives power to live right. And unless you believe this first, you won't live right. Belief comes first and then life afterwards. One of the most sad things that you will hear going on in our world today is that children are having such an identity crisis. Of course, Satan's behind all of it. Attacking their minds and making them believe they're something they're not. And so a child can believe they're a cat. And everybody reinforces that by putting a bowl of milk on the floor for them in the classroom. And as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So a child adopts a belief system, and whatever they believe means they act accordingly. You see, the world knows, if they unpack that, that they're believing the wrong thing. But as Christians, we need to wise up to what we really believe. Because Satan will rob us of our confidence before God. You are not inferior in the presence of God. You have been made right with the righteousness of God in Christ. You can stand before God because of Jesus alone. Not our performance, just as if you'd never sinned. And just in case you didn't get it, Romans 5:17. This is speaking about one man's offense, Adam. Adam brought sin and disobedience into every person that has ever been born since, the first Adam. And scripture says, by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. How much, say much more. There's a whole lot more that Jesus did than Adam lost. How much more wonderful. That's just such good news. How much more those who receive, let's say this together, the abundance of grace and the Can we say that again? Gift of righteousness. Righteousness isn't earned. Doesn't that make you so happy? You can't earn your right standing with God. And if you try, you will fail. And actually, God will wait till you get to the end of yourself trying to be a better person. He will lovingly wait until you come to nothing. Because we have to get to the end of self-righteousness before we can enter into his righteousness. One of my favorite things to say about myself outside of Christ is, and you might not think it's good news, I think it is, in my flesh dwells no good thing. It does me an awful lot of good to say that over myself. I have nothing to offer God. I come with nothing. Do you realize without God you are in zero land? It doesn't mean to say you're not loved, but you are nothing. Nothing of self will make you commend yourself to God. You are no better than anyone else. And we've all sinned, so we're all in the same category without Christ. But now we have been made different. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Through Jesus, there's come an abundance of grace and the gift. Which is why, actually, the church, when it comes to the subject of being right with God, need to just sit down, relax, lay back, and believe. Stop trying and believe. It's the righteousness of God that comes through faith. Faith, not performance. You know, when we grew up, I was one of four children. And there was kind of these scales. And parents, you know, they're better than that. They're better than her at that. And most of my brothers and sisters were better at something than me. So I ended up being the one that wasn't quite, didn't quite make it. And you get these scales. You grow up with these scales. What exams you pass. Yeah. How good are you in terms of how you look? And how good are you in terms of what you have? The things you possess, your house. It reflects how good you are. Do you know there's only one measure, and that's Jesus. He's the great leveler of us all. He alone is my righteousness. I can't be righteous without Jesus. And so God doesn't speak in these levels. He says, Christ alone is my, yours, your righteousness. Wonderful, Jesus. Stop trying, only believe. Just say that to yourself. Stop trying. Stop trying to be better. Jesus is the one everybody needs to see. Only believe, only believe, only believe, only believe, only believe, and you will see the glory of God. You'll see the character of God. How? You know, this is actually... How did we become righteous? We know that Jesus died for us. Romans 10. These wonderful, wonderful verses. Thank you. For what does it say? The word. This is the word of righteousness we're preaching. The word of God coming to you this morning. This is not human words. This is divine power. The word of God. The word of God is near you. It's in your mouth and your heart. That is the word of faith. Not the word of works. It's the word of faith, not works, not earning, not performing, not trying to be better, but the word of faith which we preach. That's what you're hearing this morning. Thank you. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto
righteousness.
Oh, hang on. With the heart one believes, only believe, unto
righteousness.
Say 100% righteous. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So two things. You see, Jesus has already done the work for everything you will ever need. Nothing you need in life hasn't already been done for you through Jesus' death and resurrection. All needs are met through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he says, I've done the work, step aside. I'm the great I am. Let me be God here. And I'll tell you how you can become right. Believe in your heart and just speak it out. That's not much of a work, is it? You believe what Jesus has done, that God raised him from the dead, and you confess with your mouth. You're righteous and you're saved. You're declared righteous and saved. Jesus said some interesting words if you read the Gospels. He said, by your words, you're justified. And by your words, you're condemned. Has anybody read that in the Bible? It's in the Bible. By your words, you're justified. So if you don't say it, you're not. So Christianity isn't just inner life. It's words. It's called the confession of faith. By your words, you're justified, and by your words, you condemn. Do you know you can condemn yourself when God isn't condemning you? And you can put yourself under those words. Or you can agree with God that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and be justified, just as if I'd never sinned. And so the way we're saved is the way we continue to live. By grace, because God's already done it, through faith, trusting Jesus. He is my righteousness. Now I'm going to finish this before we have a powerful time where I believe he already has spoken and is working in hearts to sift out. Hang on a minute. I need to get back to just being right with God through faith. Not by what I do. We're saved for good works, not by good works. So actually, we are supposed to be doing good works that Jesus has prepared for us, but we're only saved by grace through faith. And actually, all the blessings of God come not by earning them. You can't pray enough to get healed. I don't know you heard that. You can't twist God's arm to get answers. He has already provided everything we need for life and godliness through Jesus. And now the righteous, who are righteous by faith, continue to live by their own faith. So whatever you believe will be your portion of how much Jesus died for. He died for you to have the whole inheritance. But what you believe will be what you live in. According to your faith, Jesus said, it will be done. Because faith is all dependent on God's gift of grace. So healing is a gift. I'm going to finish with a story, and it's about the centurion. Do you remember the centurion in the New Testament, where he had a servant who was dying? I love the compassion of this guy. And being a Roman soldier, he was outside the covenant that God had with the Jewish people. But he obviously did a lot of good things. And he obviously had a heart of compassion because his servant was dying, and he wanted to send for Jesus to do a miracle. And I want you to notice something really important in what I'm saying. Because the Jews, in Luke's gospel, you read it, the Jews went ahead and said, Jesus, you need to come and you need to do a miracle for this guy because he's done so much good for our nation. Can you hear the mindset of works in that comment? That he deserves a miracle because he's done a lot of good. In essence, they were saying he paid for a synagogue. If we had a kind of list here, some of us might be quite happy writing out what we've done for God. This. I've done this. Tick, 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 tick. I need a miracle because look at what I did for you. And God doesn't work in your life because of what you do for him. He works because of what Jesus did for you. Oh, my giddy auntie, this is brilliant. And so this is Jesus, you know, you ought to heal him because he's been so good. And I love it when Jesus came to the centurion. The first words that he spoke were, Lord, I'm not worthy you should come under my roof. What was he saying? It's not what I've done that gets a miracle. It's that I believe in you that gets the miracle. No good works achieve miracles, blessings, the goodness of God, only by grace through faith. The righteous shall continue to live, not go back to the law, but by grace through faith. And I love it, the centurion, he said, I've done nothing to deserve anything, but you're good. He saw something in Jesus that says, actually, I know I'm not worthy. And how many of you know today, there is nothing of my own worth that deserves any kind of miracle, any answer to prayer? I've served the Lord for years, but it's not the basis I get answers from. The basis I get miracles from is because of Jesus. That's why the scripture says you need to be skilled in the word of righteousness. The teaching about righteousness is so important in the church of Jesus Christ. Because if you start to go back to works, you put yourself under the law and you get nothing from God. Because you can't earn a miracle. It only comes when you believe and receive. And Jesus said about this centurion, he marveled at his great faith. What was his faith based on? Not what he did, but what Jesus would do for him. All our faith is in one person alone. Praise God for his glorious grace. His glorious grace. Nothing of me and all of Jesus. You see, a Christian has gone from 0 to 100% just because of Jesus. He's the gift. Can we stand? Praise the Lord. Tell somebody next to you, this is good news for me. I'm going to stop struggling. I'm going to stop trying. I'm not going to stop trying to be a better person, a better husband. I'm going to rely on Jesus. Yes. I'm going to live by faith. Faith in his amazing grace. Now we're going to have a time of confession. Not of our sins, but of the truth. Some of you went, I hope you see confessing your sin is a positive thing, like the dog that gets a bath. Yes. You look and smell a whole lot better. But what you do wrong doesn't make you want to throw out the dog. You get, God won't throw me out because I believe. I believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. And because I believe, I will live. I want to live holy. And if you don't, you're not saved. Because you've got a new nature. Yes, you might not do it perfectly yet. But that's not an excuse for sin. We have the power of his righteousness that helps us to live according to his will. So let's say this together. I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, work with me. Jesus took my sin. Let's say it first. Jesus took my sin. He took my guilt, my punishment, and died in my place. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. By your words, you are justified. By my words, I'm justified. I believe it with my heart and confess it with my mouth, and I am saved. Thank you. The next one. Therefore, having been justified by faith, I am justified by faith. It's just as I never did wrong. I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise your wonderful name, Jesus. Thank you that I am justified, that I have a new identity, and Satan won't steal it from me. I believe it and speak it, and Satan loses his hold over my life. Amen. Next one, please. For by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more. I'm the one who's received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I will reign in life over temptation, over struggles, through the one, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. Praise his wonderful name, Jesus. You are my righteousness. Let's say it. Jesus, you are my righteousness. I have no righteousness of my own. And I'm set free by the truth today. I'm just as good as you in the presence of God, because you are my righteousness. You know, before I knew this, I'd be like groveling in the presence like this. But I'm so unworthy. But actually, that unbelieving posture doesn't glorify Jesus. It's still about you. Whereas faith glorifies God. Because what you're doing is you're saying, it's all about Jesus. It's not about me. He did it all. And makes me acceptable. Say, I'm accepted in the beloved. Made holy and blameless forever. By one sacrifice, he once for all made me perfect. Past, present, and future, I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The truth sets us free. We're to continue in it. Jesus said, you're my disciples if you continue in my truth. The final scripture, and I know you're tired, but I'm not tired speaking. Are you? Believe, there's not much work going on. Jesus did the work. We're just believing and speaking. Okay, so don't get too weary. Don't let your flesh start to crunch and push down the spirit. Let's say this together. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for me, how shall he not with him freely give me all things? Say it again. Freely give me all things. I don't work for them. I'm not going to work for my healing. I'm not going to work for my miracles. I'm going to trust God for my provision. I'm going to trust God for my healing. I'm going to trust God for my future. I'm going to trust God with my family. I'll trust him with my marriage. I'll trust him with my business. I'll trust him with my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. It's a wonderful, wonderful gospel. The righteousness of God. Never doubt. If you have sinned, say, sorry, Lord, and I don't want to do it again. Help me, Holy Spirit, to live. Thank you that you forgive me and cleanse me like a dog has a wash. But you don't throw me out. Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Can you just pray for the person next to you for this truth to transform everything about the way you think about yourself? Just pray for transforming power of the Holy Spirit.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.